Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned and take heart to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what John had to write in his third letter. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Yeah. So here's a wonderful New Year's blessing that John is giving to his friend. And he's saying, I hope it goes well with you and that you may be in good health. Those are kind of iffy, but he says, as it goes well with your soul. So obviously something good is happening in his friend's life, something on a soulish level. And he goes on to explain why that's so, why things are good in this particular person's soul. Gaius is the person's name. He says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So things may not be going so well for us health-wise, or things may not be going so well for us on other fronts, but they can still go well for us within our souls if we will walk in truth. Truth is what brings freedom to us. Truth is what brings peace to our souls. Truth is what brings joy to our hearts. Truth is where we need to walk, and we can walk there regardless of the circumstances. So many of us try to link joy to circumstances. We just can't do that. Joy comes from the Lord, and we can experience His joy anywhere, anytime, any place, within any circumstance. Why? How? By walking in truth. That's what gives us joy, walking in truth. That's what makes it go well with our souls, walking in truth. And I think as we begin this new year, as that calendar has changed from 2013 to 2014, I think we need to pay closer attention to truth and a willingness to walk in truth. And that's what we're going to be talking about this month. We're beginning a new series on Monday, a new topic, spiritual warfare. And it all links to this walk of truth. We have an enemy that's trying to deceive us, an enemy that's trying to turn us away from truth. And if he does, we can expect bondage. We can expect all sorts of problems. But if we will hang true to truth, if we will cling to it, walk in that truth, we will be able to avoid the pitfalls and the snares that Satan throws our way.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to talk about this month of January. We're really looking forward to it. Wanted to set the table today and to give this special New Year's blessing that John wrote to his friend Gaius, that all could go well with us as it goes well with our souls as we walk in the truth of God's love and grace.
Well, you found the radio broadcast called Basic Gospel. If you'd like to add to the conversation, if you'd like to change the topic, if you'd like to pose a question, this is a good opportunity. The lines are wide open right now. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now.
Well, as we're talking about walking in truth, maybe you would want to call in and express how you walk in truth, what it means to you. We will talk a little bit about that on today's program. I'll turn over to Richard. When you hear that phrase, walking in truth, what comes to mind for you? What does it mean to you personally to walk in truth?
It means absolutely keeping my focus on Jesus. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if I lose sight of Him, then I lose sight of truth. If I'm relying on my own understanding, something I've learned, it may be true, it may not, but it doesn't matter. If my eyes aren't on Jesus, I lose track. And so to me, to walk in the truth means absolute positive focus on Jesus and what he's teaching me from the inside, where he's leading me and what that means in my life.
Yeah. Somebody wrote in, actually sent me an email and, you know, put that passage in Hebrews, you know, keep your eyes on Jesus. And he said, what exactly does that mean? Give me some handles. How does that play itself out in day-to-day life? Jesus isn't here. We can't see him with our physical eyes. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus? What exactly does that mean? Can you unpack that a little more for us?
Yeah. For me, that means staying focused in the Word of God. I mean, he told us that the Holy Spirit, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit was to remind his disciples of everything that he had taught. And we see that in especially the New Testament as the Spirit inspired them, reminded them, and they brought to visibility the things that Jesus taught and what they meant. Then the way I focus on Jesus is to focus on what all these writers were writing about Jesus, to stay in the Word of God. This isn't a 24 hours a day thing. It's, you know, you read something, you contemplate it. You let it sink in. You let the Spirit do with it as the Spirit wants to do. Because as soon as you think you understand one thing, 6 months from now, the Spirit will bring you back to that and say, let me show you the next level. And he peels the onion just a little bit more. So it's constantly staying in God's Word and saying, what does this tell me about Jesus and what he has accomplished for me and is doing within me?
Yeah, I as you were talking, I was thinking about that passage in Matthew 16, and it's one of my favorite passages, and Jesus asked the question of his disciples, mm-hmm. Who do you say that I am? And most of the time, we you know, look at that question as more of an apologetic question. You know,
yes.
It helps us make a defense for Christianity. But I think that's one of those questions that keeps our eyes on Jesus, because in circumstances, we need to ask ourselves that very question right now in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this tribulation, who do I say that Jesus is? And oftentimes, if we're truthful, if we're honest, we're not so sure that he truly is God. Not right now. And the reason I say that is because we're looking to a million other things to help solve our problems other than Jesus. We might be looking to ourselves. We might be looking to, you know, a new way to handle our finance. Just a myriad of things that are anything other than Jesus. Why? Because we think those things are going to solve our problem, not Jesus. But when we come back to that question, circle back to it, and ask ourselves, who do I say that Jesus is right now? If I can truly say in my heart, I believe that he is God, then I can rest in him. I can turn this whole situation over to him and say, this is in your hands. And I think that's a way we keep our eyes on Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yeah, let me give you a concrete example. This occurred to me last week. I don't know why it took me so long. Welcome to life.
Yeah.
Many times people want to, at the turn of the new year, they say, well, we need to improve our finances. We need to get on track financially. And it finally hit me that the fundamental issue with finances is not profit and loss. It's not cash flow. It's contentment. When we have learned to be content, the way Paul describes it in Philippians 4, when we've learned to be content, whether we have a lot or have a little, that means we are resting in Jesus. He is taking care of us in this situation. And if I can be content there, then for the first time in my life, perhaps, I can think clearly about finances. It works from the inside out. The contentment drives the wisdom, the choices, and all of that. And it's those kinds of revelations. That's a spiritual revelation that I needed to realize that, you know, this isn't about making more money. It's about being content. And I've struggled myself with contentment my whole life. Nothing was ever good enough. I was never good enough. You always have to go the next step, get the next thing, get the promotion. And when you realize that Jesus is completely sufficient to that, and the contentment comes, then you can let go of the outer, external, false things of this world and let the truth of who he is inform how you make decisions in a business or financial sense.
Absolutely. I love how you put that. Contentment drives the wisdom.
Yeah.
That's a powerful statement. I hope our listeners will take note of that. That's something to write down.
Yeah.
If you're on Twitter, you ought to tweet that, because that's good stuff right there. Contentment drives wisdom. And that's keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful resource today available to our listeners for a gift of any amount. It's a book, God's Greatest Place, or God's Favorite Place on Earth, written by our friend Frank Viola. It is a wonderful book about the person of Jesus Christ, seeing him in a place where he really felt comfortable, where he was welcomed. A little community called Bethany, just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. You know, Jesus never spent the night in the city of Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem. He spent the days in Jerusalem at all of these various festivals that the Jewish people had several times during the year. But when night came, he ventured that 2 miles to Bethany, and he would sleep there. And he was welcomed in the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and he felt at home there. And it's a powerful, powerful picture of our Lord, and we certainly would love to put that book in your hands, and it's available for a gift of any amount today to Basic Gospel. This is a book that once you start reading, you won't want to put down. I mean, it really is a page-turner. You move through it emotionally. I mean, there are places in there that just really grip your heart. There's other places in there that you just have these aha moments. I never thought of Jesus in those terms. So I think in light of our conversation, this is just a perfect resource. How do you keep your eyes on Jesus? Well, this particular book will help you do so. So make a contribution today, a gift of any amount. We want to say thank you for that. And the way we'll do that is by putting this book in your hands, God's Favorite Place on Earth.
By Frank Viola, as a matter of fact. And you can call and speak with our operator to make your gift and request your copy, 1-800-727-2828. That's the number. That'll be good through 5 o'clock today, Central Time, 1-800-727-2828. Or you can click the link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, God's Favorite Place on Earth by Frank Viola, yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's get back to this topic, Richard, of walking in truth, keeping your eyes on Jesus. So we keep our eyes on who he is.
Yes.
You know, constantly filling our mind with that truth that Jesus is indeed God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just this moral person like the world says about him, but he's truly God, and he was truly God in human flesh, and he's God today, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's King, he's Lord, he's ruler, he's going to reign, he's the power that keeps this world together. So we keep our eyes on Jesus by focusing on who he is. But the second aspect of that is focusing on what he has done through his death, burial, and resurrection. We're constantly fielding accusations, either from ourselves. We're great accusers of us. You know, we want to be perfect. We want to do things right. And whenever we fail, we just hammer ourselves. I mean, we really condemn ourselves and go through this self-loathing and all of this. But then we also feel accusations from the world. And we feel guilty, we feel shameful, we feel a million miles away from God. That's how we feel, but that's not truth, is it?
Not at all.
And we have to get back to that truth of what Christ did to bring us to God, and that was to take away our sins once and for all. If we don't know that our sins have been forgiven, we are going to feel a million miles away from God. We're going to feel like there's just this huge distance that's impossible for us to travel, to get close to him. But that's not truth. God has come to us in Jesus, and he's right there with us all the time. And I just think that's something that we need to really latch on to if we're going to experience the fullness of Christ's life in and through us.
Yeah, we have to, because We're introducing a song at Metro this week, and one of the lines in the first verse is, "Stop fighting a fight that's already been won." That's where you have to go back and say, what did Jesus accomplish for me, for everyone else, but for me? Because, like you said, we do beat ourselves up. And then about the time we get through beating ourselves up, somebody else says something, and there we go again. We have to stop fighting that fight with sin, because Jesus already won that battle. And if we learn how to appropriate what he has done, what he has freely given us, then that fear begins to go away. And you know, it does change things. It really does.
Yes, indeed. You know, Christianity isn't about sin management.
No.
As John Lynch would say, and many others have said as well. But we really focus on trying to rid ourselves of sin. That's an impossibility.
Yeah.
It's all about trusting Jesus. The next aspect of walking in truth is the fact that we've been made right in God's sight. Jesus justified us. Jesus made us righteous. I think that's the proof that our sins have been forgiven mm-hmm. once and for all. He would never make that declaration if he hadn't taken away our sins forever, right?
Yeah, I mean, think about that. If there is some aspect of me that I have to make righteous, then that means Jesus failed. There's no other conclusion that you can draw. It's not that he got 90% there. It's all or nothing. So Jesus either took away all sin and therefore can declare me to be righteous in right relationship with him, can justify me, or he can't. And when you put it in that stark of terms, then you're forced to make a decision instead of going, well, I don't know. It's Jesus really did this, and it's mine, and it's yours. And together, we can be something we never could have been before.
Yeah. If you want to chime in on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you right now, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel. We're talking about what it means to walk in truth. As John wrote in his third letter, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So to rehash what we've talked about thus far, walking in truth is walking in the truth of who Jesus is. That's the first aspect of it. The second aspect is walking in the truth of what he has done, what he has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. One of the aspects of that is he's given us a new identity, hasn't he?
Yes.
We were once sinners, but now we are called saints, children of God. That's hard for us to grasp, isn't it?
Yeah, because most of the time we define ourselves by our behavior, the things we do. Some of us define ourselves by horrible behavior. Some of us define ourselves by what looks like good behavior. But those are all false identities, because they're based on things that are just smoke. Jesus, when he declares us to be a child of God, I mean, just the act of him speaking that means it's true, because he's God. He creates us when he names us as his own children. That's worth thinking about.
Absolutely. And we as human beings, we mask over that. You know, that's, we don't really understand what that means to be a child of God, so we put forth other identities.
Yes.
And when we do, we know those identities aren't real, because we're taking a look at our own hearts and we're saying, hey, that doesn't really match, but we're going to go with it.
Yeah, I'm going to try anyway.
Yeah, and so we think, well, God loves that identity, but he doesn't really love me.
Uh-huh.
And we've got to remove those masks. We got to take those out and say, you know, God is choosing to love me, warts and all. He knows me. He knows what's going on inside. He knows what I'm thinking. I can't hide any of that stuff from him. And when I let that out and am transparent about that as far as my relationship with God is concerned, that's when I can really receive his love and know that he truly, genuinely loves me. And that's when I can allow this true identity to come forth as a child of God. And I think that's so important for us to grasp. I mean, we look at identity, you know, that starts out as kids, you know, who are we? and we're trying to figure that out. I know in the middle school years, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, those were awkward years.
Yes.
I know it was awkward for me when I went through those 3 years. And as I've looked at my kids, those were very awkward years for them as well, because they were struggling to find an identity. They were trying to figure out where they fit, you know, who they belong to, you know, who they really were. And then once they got into high school, that kind of settled down a little bit, but there was still that question.
Yeah.
That question persists into college and even after. And I know people in their 50s and 60s and 70s that are still trying to figure out who they are. That question has never quite been answered. And they know what the Bible has to say. They know that the Word of God declares them to be children of God. But for some reason, they can't really embrace that.
And even those of us who have embraced it have, it seems, an infinite capacity for doubting it at exactly the wrong time.
Absolutely.
Something goes wrong with, oh, there we are. And down into the pit we go because we forget who we are. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about the Spirit indwelling us, is that He constantly reminds us that you're my child. You're a fellow heir. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me. Not because I'm so cool, but because He's given it to me. And that changes my thinking. It removes the fear, brings the contentment, does all the rest of that.
All of that. And then the last aspect of it, we walk in truth by focusing on who Jesus is. Second, what He's accomplished for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. And then third, based on what He is going to do in and through us today.
Yes.
He works in us through His Spirit. And when we focus on what He is doing inside of us, that gives us great hope for here and now. This isn't about something Jesus just did 2,000 years ago that we're supposed to somehow embrace and magically make a difference for us today. It's that plus the fact that this risen Christ has come to live inside of us. Mm-hmm. That really is the good news. That completes the story, that Jesus has taken up residence in us. And boy, when we start focusing on what He is doing right now, that changes us. That really is what transforms us day by day, week by week, month by month. And so we keep our eyes on who Jesus is, what He accomplished for us through His death, burial, and resurrection, and what He is doing in us right now through His Spirit. And His Spirit is going to be teaching us truth about His love, His grace, and His mercy.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, we're close to the end of the broadcast. Do you have any update for us, for the listeners who stepped up to the plate with us?
Well, we want to say thank you to all of those folks that did step up to the plate.
Yes.
We are still looking at the numbers. You know, contributions are coming in that were postmarked back in 2013.
So no final
No final yet. Okay. But we should probably be close to knowing by Wednesday of next week how everything. I think we're going to be a little bit short, but you know we'll
a lot closer than we were.
That's
though.
Right, absolutely.
A
so
lot closer.
I guess what I want to say to our listeners is thank you so much for standing with us. This gospel message needs to be supported.
Absolutely, and thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Everybody, we appreciate hearing from you, and I'm going to kind of underline what Bob has said. Many of you, in regard to our financial needs, stepped up to the plate as we ended the year. And though we did hear from many of you, the need goes on. We need to keep listening. We need to keep praying for this ministry and supporting it financially to keep from slipping further behind again. And as a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount over the weekend, we would love to get a copy of Frank Viola's book, God's Favorite Place on Earth, into your hands. That's for a gift of any amount, and all you need to do to make your request and make your gift is call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Now, that number will be good for about another hour and 5 minutes today, up until 5 o'clock Central Time, or you can visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, 1-800-727-2828 or basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the home page. So, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and wishing you a wonderful weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.